your Bible with me, open it to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Chapter 119. Aren't you glad that grace is greater than our sin? Romans said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. This didn't say it abounded, it much more abounded. And I bless the Lord for it. I'm glad He takes care of it, and I'm thankful to Him for it. Psalm chapter 119, begin reading in verse number 49. For several, about 11 years, I guess, on Wednesday nights, I've been preaching through the book of Psalms at our home church, and got started a long time ago, and we got into Psalm 23, and I spent 29 weeks in Psalm 23, and some of my folks looked at me and said, "Preacher, what are we going to do when we get to Psalm 119? And I said, "Well, we're going to pray Jesus comes, amen." And I'm glad you understand when you open the book of Psalms, you open the hymn book of your Bible. That is the church hymnal of your King James Bible. I notice I didn't say Baptist hymnal. I said church hymnal. I never have opened a church hymnal, found an NIV verse in it. Say amen right there. Don't get nervous. See, that's a Church of God book. We need a little spirit in our services. Amen. Amen. And I think they do pretty good. I like that red book. I was raised on that red book. I'm familiar with it. I know several of the songs. I remember some what keys are in some of them are in. I'm partial to a lot of them. I mean, I really like number 50. What a happy time, some glad tomorrow, when we lay this heavy burden down. That said in the sweet forever, amen. I like 46 pretty good too. Said I'd rather be an old time Christian. Amen. Amen. 130 is a real good one. I never shall forget the day. Amen. I like 114, I've never been sorry, praise God. Amen. How about 110, heaven's jubilee? 105, how beautiful heaven must be. Amen, friend. How about 88, I'm going that way. Amen. I like that. One of my favorites, number 76, Jesus spoke to me one day, praise His holy name forever. Said and died my debts to pay, bore my sin and shame. It is finished, thus spoke He. I have paid it all. Sweet relief it was to me when I heard Him call. Amen, friend. I like that. I like number 8. I love the Lord down deep in my heart. Number 6, I want to know more. Number 4, I'm free again. Amen. 133, I feel like traveling on. Amen. 120, victory in Jesus. One that I believe will sing in heaven, 113, down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where from cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Amen. 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 What about that 305 on a hill far away? Stood an old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. I believe, I thank God, I know a few when I feel certain ways, I know where I want to turn to. There's sometimes I like to sing that 107 or it might be 109. I must tell Jesus. Amen. 107, amen. I like that. I like 350 at the bottom of the page. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar, for my Father waits over the way. I tell you what, when I get to feeling like quitting, at 350 at the top of the page, help you a little bit. It says you never mention Him to me. Amen. And I believe with all my heart, Brother Tripp, as I can quote some of them hymns that we sing, I believe the Hebrews could quote some of the chapters that we read in the book of Psalms when they found themselves in a dark hour and they needed to be encouraged. Amen. I mean, I believe they knew where 346 was. I believe they knew what to sing when they got to thinking about and rejoicing about they knew the Lord. They wanted to sing about, I know my name's there. Amen. They wanted to sing about 406, the comforters come when the Spirit of God come on them. Amen. And I believe when we open the book, we need to understand we're reading their song book. It's why the Psalms are so easily quoted, because they're written to a musical meter. And I tell you what you can't do. You find me somebody and quote one of them new Bibles. It don't work. You can't quote an NIV. You can't quote an NASB. You can't quote one of them others. It, honey, that one that's King James, you can put in your mind and your heart, and it'll come out, praise God. Amen. If you're not wondering, I'm a King James man. Amen. It's not the best we got. It is what we've got. I'm not one of them boys that'll say, yeah, that's the best rendition that we have. No, I believe when you crack open that Bible, you are holding a preserved copy of the Word of God for our day. Amen, friend. If I didn't think that was the Word of God, I'd dig a storm shelter and go live in it. But praise God, I'm convinced that we can face the day. We can face the days ahead with what's written in this blessed Word. Amen. That ain't just a soapbox to stand on. That's my guide and my map. It is my bread. It's bread to my hungry soul. It's water to my thirsty lips. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. You understand that's what Psalm 119 is written about. It's written about the Word of God. The Bible said, everybody okay? I just want you to make sure your neighbor's awake. Amen. Ladies, you slap your husband. If he ain't, get him to say amen. It'll help me, praise God. You know what that word amen means? It says that's the truth. Verily, verily. That's the truth. I like what Brother Gravely said, Brother Jeff. He said we was over at his meeting in March where he was preaching for us. He said he told his young preachers if they didn't have enough God on them to amen the truth, they probably didn't have enough God on them to preach the truth. Amen. Said he put his boys on, your preacher boys on probation. He said, you ought at least say amen 25 times in a message. He said, if you don't, I'm going to write your name down, praise God. Amen. Amen. We might be surprised if the preachers of our day get tore up about the Word of God again. We might see our churches come alive. Amen. Problem in America is not the White House. It's not the Congress. It's not whatever. And Raleigh is where it is in North Carolina. It's not in Atlanta, praise God. Honey, what's wrong with America's in our pulpits? Amen. I mean, men having to bring these worship leaders in with a Martin guitar, long hair to lead words. Look at here. If we're going to have a worship leader at the Wahoo Baptist Church, you're looking at him, praise God. Amen. I want to have enough fire burning in me. I ain't got to have somebody else. I want to still be able to get filled with the Holy Ghost and worship God like David did with all his might. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. You see, I'm worried about that wildfire. You don't worry about that wildfire. Best way to control wildfires is by setting a real fire. Go ask one of the forestry men how they control wildfire in a forest. They go out there and set their own fire. Amen. Everybody okay? We're so scared of being termed a charismatic that we can't stand it. Let me tell you something. We were independent Baptist folk were shouting long before a woman in the early 1900s in California ever spoke in tongues like she had a mouthful of marbles. Say amen. 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 We need to get back to some of that old-time worship, praise God. Amen. Everybody okay? Check your neighbor, make sure they're all right. Amen. Amen. Psalm 119, I'm trying to get to my verse. You know, before I used to play ball, I used to stretch out a little bit and shoot some layups. So I'm stretching out a little bit. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 49. Amen. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night. Have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. I want to take, you could be seated, I want to take two verses as my text this evening. The Bible said in verse number 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Then look at verse number 53, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. How to use those two verses and preach out of the context of this, these eight verses from Psalm chapter 119 on this thought. Hope filled a truth for horror filled times. Hope filled truth for horror filled times. Now, if you're much of a student of the Word of God and you've ever spent any time into Psalm 119, you understand Psalm 119 is divided up into 22 separate stanzas. Each one of those separate stanzas start with the first or letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And God begins to unveil and reveal to us the preciousness of the Word of God. Somebody said, why 22 stanzas? Why 8 verses? I was talking about the memorization of a King James Bible. May I say to you, some of you students that have studied some of the significance of numbers in the Word of God, you understand that the numerology in Scripture only works in a King James Bible. And you understand that 7, many know what 7 is. It's that word of completion. It's that word that comes to finality. But it didn't say it was written in 7 verses, but it was written in 8 verses. And that Hebrew word, Simona, that number 8 comes from, it means to make fat or superabundance. And may I say, when we crack open our Bible, when we begin to read from Genesis to the Revelation, you better believe there is a superabundance of the mind of God recorded on the pages of this Scripture. And that neighbor, you and I, if we will put the Word of God in our heart, put it in our mind, in our soul, you better believe we'll be made fat on the things of God. I'm glad, listen, it's not just 8 verses, but every one of those 8 verses are made up of 2 couplets, 8 times 2. And if 8's an abundance, what's 8 times 2? It's even a greater abundance. I'm glad, thank God, I'm not having to worry about rewriting it. We don't need to rewrite it in our day. We just need to reread it. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I had some men in my young life that took a stand on what the Word of God really was. And brother, may I say to some of my generation of preachers, if we don't hold the fast, if we don't hold the light fast, if we don't hold the standard, honey, our children that's coming in days are not going to know what the Word of God is. There's already over 200 translations, honey, but there's only one Bible. Men are trying to rewrite it because they don't like what it says, how it convicts them of their sin. But can I tell you, I need a mirror that'll show me when I'm wrong, and help me when I need help, and feed me when I'm hungry, and lift my head when I'm dragging low. I'm glad, thank God, we've got a Bible that's able to get us through. Amen. You say, what did he give us? Brother Tripp, when Ruth, in Ruth chapter number 3, after the night, he said, bring me thy veil. Bring me thy veil. In other words, he said, take your veil off and show me what you really are. And what he did, Brother Roy, she took her veil off and brought it to him. And what did he do when she showed her, when she showed him who she really was, took that veil off? What did he do? I'm glad, praise God, this book's got a way of taking our veil off. But what did he do, Brother Tripp, after he took that veil off? He took 6 measures of barley and put it in that veil for her to take back to Naomi. May I tell you what he did? He gave her 6 measures. What was that? That was a dowry. That was a down payment on the wedding. She was going to get that 7th measure of barley when she came back to that day when she became Boaz's rightful wife. You say, how much did God give her when he asked, when they were deciding that they were going to get married? I tell you how much word and how much blessing and how much truth and how much strength he gave her. He gave her enough to get her to the wedding. Amen. And may I say, 28 years ago, when I got born again and the Word of God took my veil off and exposed me for who I am and exposed me for what I would be, I'm glad, thank God, he took the veil away from me, filled it with the barley of the things things of God. You say, how much did he give you? He gave me enough to get me to the wedding. I'm glad, thank God, I'm not going to be dropped off in the wilderness somewhere. But I'm going to make it all the way in. God's never birthed a handicapped youngin into the family of God. When he births us into the family, he gives us everything we need to make it home. Praise God. I'm telling you, when you get the word, you get a hope-filled truth to help you make it live in a hard-filled time. Amen. A superabundance. No wonder there's such an attack on the Bible in our day, because the devil knows that's the source of our strength as a child of God. You look at that, you got a Scofield or a study Bible, you can look up above this 8 and you see that little symbol, that Hebrew symbol for that letter. It looks like a sword. I'm glad, thank God, we do have an offensive weapon. Amen. I'm glad God just didn't leave us here with a shield and a buckler and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. I don't know about you, but if I'm in a fight, every once in a while, I want to get a shot in myself. Say amen. I mean, man, I have to take it a little while. I may have to take it on the cheek a little while. But praise God, every once in a while, God will give me a sword to swing around. I'm glad, thank God, you and I have made it through. And while we've made it through, he's given us a sword, praise God. That's an abundant sword in this day. If we don't love and obey and commit these things to the Word of God to our heart, you better believe this, we're not going to be a victorious Christian life. Victorious Christian. Let me just say this. If there's dust on your Bible, there's a drought in your heart. Amen, friend. Hope-filled truth. Hope-filled truth. What is hope? Hope looks to the future. Hope looks forward to something. And may I say, hope is as only good as the promise into which it was related. But may I say to you, every promise that he's made, we used to sing that little song as children, every promise in the book is true. Every promise in the book is true. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise is mine. Praise God. I remember Brother Willard said one time, he was on a plane. He said, they were having trouble, got into some turbulence, and they thought that it was a going down. He said, man, I opened my Bible. He said, I claimed every promise I could find. He said, I claimed the ones for the church. I claimed the ones for the Jews. He said, I claimed everything I could put my hand on. And may I say to you, in a demon-possessed day in which you and I live, I'm glad he's given us some blessed promises. I'm not standing on my emotion. I'm not standing on a movement. But I'm standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. I'm glad we can stand on the promises in 2015. We're creatures of hope. And if we don't have some hope, we ain't gonna make it through. Duke University did a study some years ago. They had two different rats, and they said, we're gonna see what kind of hope has effect on these animals. They put the first one in a little container that had water in it with no way for that little rat to get out. And they said that little mouse didn't swim but just for a few minutes, and it dipped his head down in the water and drowned and died. They put that second little mouse in that water, and there in that little second box, there was a way that could see a hole at the end of the box that if it could get to, it could climb out of the box. And they said that little mouse swam hour upon hour upon hour upon hour trying to make it to that hole. You say, preacher, why do you see these silver-haired saints of God sitting on some hard metal pews tonight? I tell you why, because they see there's an open door at the end of the way. Listen, Revelation 4:1 said, he said there was a door opened, and he said, I heard a voice behind me as it were a trumpet speaking, saying, come up hither. I believe old John was hearing the same voice that he heard in Revelation chapter number 1. I'm telling you, this Laodicean, a church of the people's right, dead as a hammer religion day that you and I are living in, it is not the last world. Honey, I say keep preaching on. I say keep singing on. I can't keep soul winning on. I keep running buses on. I stay separated on. I keep standing on the truth on. Why? Because there is a hope. It said, beloved, we now are the sons of God, and it doth not yet, what we shall be, it doth not yet appear. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And the Bible said, every man that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he's pure. I'm telling you, thank God there's a hope, and it's alive and well in my soul tonight. I'm glad it doesn't matter what Obama does. It doesn't matter what the Congress does. I'm glad when I got born again, God dug out a hole deep in my soul that the devils can't get and the demons can't get. And he put a lively hope in me. And I'm glad in spite of dark days, honey, I've got a hope that's alive and well in me. That word hope, that Old Testament word hope, comes from a Hebrew word that means cord or rope. I'm glad I got a lifeline. What do you think? What do you think they saw when Rahab hung that scarlet thread? What'd she do? Amen. She said, I'm hanging my hope out. Glory to God. She hung her hope out of the window. Amen, friend. I'm glad, thank God, when I got born again, I hung my hope out. Listen to me. If I go to hell, I'm going to hell. Trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is spilt on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'm glad there's hope, child of God. May I say, mom and dad, if your children are in the world, there's hope. Preacher, if your church ain't doing what you want it to do, there is hope. If your health ain't the way you want it to be, there is hope. America, there is hope. I know we got a Muslim for a president, honey, but there still is hope. I'm glad, but I've got a God in heaven that's higher than the White House. I'm glad I've got a book that's greater than the Constitution. I'm glad I've got hope. I'm glad there's hope today. Honey, just march on for the glory of God. There's hope. You ever go to the hospital with somebody about to have surgery or dying and get the horoscope out and read it to them? Nope. Hey, Brother Jeff, have you ever gone to the graveside with a family and read out of USA Today? Brother Tripp, in all the years you've been a preacher, have you ever gone into a home where their heart was broken and you read out of the Wall Street Journal? Nope. Absolutely not. I've never gone into a home that's lost a loved one and took their 401k prospectus and broke it down with them and explained to them their rate of return, the yield on the stocks that they were invested in. Never one time done that. But honey, can I tell you, I've walked in a many a place with the King James Bible and opened it up to several different places and begin to read the blessed promises of the Word of God. Why not the Wall Street Journal? There's no hope there. Why not the USA Today? There's no hope there. Why not to horoscope? Because that's full of demons. Amen. But can I tell you, pray, listen, let me just say a word right there. If you think that's for the truth, every one of them in New Orleans ought to sign, ought to sue all those horoscope leaders, all them witch doctors, because if they really were what they said they were, they'd have went running through the streets of New Orleans before Katrina ever hit. But they didn't know any more than the weatherman did. But honey, can I tell you, praise God, I'm serving one that's already wrote the future down on pages and made himself accountable to it. I'm glad I've got hope. Amen. So I believe I'm just going to keep taking my Bible to them surgeries and funeral homes and gravesides and everything else. It's the only thing going to bring light to a dark situation. Romans 15:4 said, for whatsoever things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. hope, hope. Let me give you just a few things. I read this. I tell you something. The Bible said a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken in due season. How good is it? I like what Vance Havner said. He said, I'd rather hear one, thus saith the Lord, than hear 50 in my opinions. Amen. I'd rather hear one, thus saith the Lord. Don't tell me what you think. Don't tell me what you think might be right. Honey, just open the book, line upon line, precept upon precept, and preach the word. Amen. Can I tell you the only preaching that's going to stand is expositional, expository, verse by this topical ain't going to last. I mean, man, it may be feel good. I mean, let me tell you something. In our day, modern day preaching, I'm talking about modern preaching, has deteriorated into nothing but a psychoanalytical, motivational speech. I'm glad I had a man of God that knew how to plow a plow. He knew how to hook up a plow to some horses, praise God, by the name of the Holy Ghost, and plow my corn, praise God. Hey, and tell me when I was right, tell me when I was wrong. Amen. Amen. I know every once in a while we may take a topic out of the Word of God and run it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this. This is your best day. This is your best day. Last time I looked, this is the worst day I've ever lived in. Evolution, my hind leg. Maybe de-evolution, but not evolution. I ain't got to be a scholar to know it's got worse since Genesis 1. Amen. Amen. But I'm glad he gave me a book. When I open the newspaper and they're shooting police all over the country. And Iran's wanting to wipe Israel off the face. You know what Ahmadinejad ought to do? No more sense than he's got. He ought to go find him one of them fortune tellers. And call Hitler out of hell. And he ought to ask Hitler how it was trying to extinguish the Jew off the face of the world. He ought to ask Hitler how he's enjoyed being in hell since when he died. Amen. Amen. Don't get nervous, praise God. Hey, they've been trying to stamp the Jews out for a long time. Oh, but honey, can I tell you, God's not done with them. I'm glad, thank God, when we get raptured out of here, he's going to deal with them again. And when the tribulation's over, praise God, we're coming back. And after that wedding, everything that used to be hers is going to be hers again. Even the Jews have got hope. Amen. Amen. But I'm glad in that hour. I'm glad with the situations at home that we face with loved ones being ill. I'm glad I can open up that book and be reminded that's not the last body I'm going to know them in. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I believe in the resurrection. Because I preach in some places, that's the only thing going to help them. Amen. Amen. Old Brother Mays Jackson said some places are so cold, if you let a milk cow down the middle aisle, she'd give popsicles before you got her to the communion table. Amen. Amen. You silver-haired folks that have grown up in the heyday of the house of God, when you come on the grounds and people be shouting before we ever got in service, God bless y'all, amen. Tell everyone, young person you know, everyone you come across, tell them about it so they'll get a little taste in their mouth of what it could be. Amen, there's hope. You say, preacher, what do you do? Man, I travel week after week after week. I see some places that want it. I see some places that don't want it. Oh, but honey, let the week of July the 4th roll around and I get down there and Georgia with about 500 teenagers, and man, for a week we get them away from television and get them away from Facebook and get them away from Instagram and everything else, and they get about 250 of them loaded up in the choir, and they get to singing, there will be grace, a grace to face another trial, there will be grace, grace to make it through another mile. And I can tell you what it go, what happens, there's about a half acre of hope gets to well up in my soul and realize there still can be a move of God in this day. I'm glad we've got hope. Man. Amen. I like what one man wrote in a prison cell in Germany in World War II. They found these words. He said, I believe in the sun, even when the sun's not shining. I believe in love, even when I can't feel it. And he said, I believe in God, even when I can't hear him. Amen. You say, I can't hear him. You ought to get an Alexander Scorby app on your telephone. And you get where you can't hear him, just let Alexander Scorby read the Bible to you. It won't be long till you'll feel like God's are reading it down into your soul. Amen. Amen. Let me just give you, I don't know, maybe I'll preach his first point. His first point. Now you know why it's taking me so long to preach through the book of Psalms. Because I'm going to preach his first one, but there's two more where that came from. Amen. And if you don't help me a little bit, I'll preach it and the next eight verses. Amen. I want you to notice in verse number 49, there's a hope that's found. Let me just give you the other two, and I'll preach this first one. There's a hope that's found in verse 49. But then in verse 52, there's a help that's furnished. But then in verse number 3, or verse number 55, there's an hour that's faced. He said, I remember thy name, O Lord, in the night. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm in the night. What do you got to say about that? I say, well, let me just quote a little Malachi 4 to you. The sun's coming up in the morning. It may be dark right now, but I've got hope. The sun's, you say, but it's cloudy, preacher. Let me tell you something. I don't care what storm's in here in the morning. When we wake up, the sun is still shining on the other side of those clouds. I say, hold on, child of God. The sun will come up in the morning. Verse 49, there's a hope that's found. Look at your Bible. He said, remember the word unto thy servant. Remember. That word remember, when it's applied to the Lord, that doesn't mean that he's forgot. He needs to try to remember it. If you'll study that word, it means to pay attention or to work on behalf of. What was David saying? He said, Lord, would you let the word work on my behalf? Lord, would you let the Bible do its work and do its course in my life, God? I tell you what, neighbor, I can't tell you how many times, Brother Jeff, I've sat by Brother Allen at the Faith Baptist camp. He called me up there to sit on the platform with him. I'll never forget one night I sat, Brother Johnny Pope was preaching. And man, he wouldn't, it was just good, but it just wasn't over the top, so to speak, Brother Roy. About that time, Brother Allen bowed his head and started praying. He got to shaking that head. Oh, God, oh, yes. Oh, fair Lord, you know it said. And got to quoting all them verses to him. I thought, now, Brother Sammy, he knows what it said. He wrote that thing. But, Brother, what Brother Sammy was doing was asking the Lord to remember the word unto thy servant. It wasn't about 3 minutes and he stopped praying, Brother Tripp, and elbowed me in the ribs. I think he about dislodged some of my ribs. He looked at me and he said, Brother Mark, hey. It's about to get on. And man, it wasn't nothing indicating it was about to get on. He said, hey, the Lord told me it's about to get on. And by God, as my witness, within 60 seconds, Johnny Pope was on the pulpit. And they were running the building like, listen, looked like an Olympic track meet. They was a running and shouting. And John, I mean, I'm talking about Johnny Pope. I mean, he preaches like, I mean, man, he's God's man. A lot of times he doesn't show a lot of that that expressiveness about him. But, honey, he was jumping up, hopping up and down on the pulpit. I said, what happened when I read that verse? That's what came to me. What happened? He got to claiming the promises of the Bible. And God got to letting the Word of God work on his behalf. May I say, child of God, if he did it in the Old Testament and he's done it in days gone by, you better believe God still got the power to remember his word unto you and I, and anything he's ever done in the past to deliver a child of God, he's willing and able to do it for you and I, thank God. Verse 49, there's a powerful affection. That Bible said he remembered Noah and all the living creatures, and the waters assuaged. If he rolled back the waters for Noah, don't you believe he can roll back the waters for you and I? Honey, the Bible said that he remembered Rachel and he remembered Hannah when their wombs were barren. He remembered them and gave them a conception and gave them a child. But may I say, preacher, it may be like the barren of the church you're preaching at. It may seem like it's closed and dead and it's been a while since there's been a birth. Why don't you start claiming the word of God and ask the Lord to remember his word to his servant. He might make that womb come alive again and remember you and give you a birth. Let me tell you how gracious God is. That forgetting, if we thought he forgot things, that would be an accident. Let me tell you what the Bible said. He said, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. Will I remember no more? That wasn't an accident. That was an act of the will of God. You say, can I tell you why my sins will never be remembered to me? It's because it was in the will of God that he wouldn't remember them. He just ain't going to say, uh-oh, I forgot them. No, he chose in the sovereign will of an almighty God to forget everything bad about me, forget my sin, forget my guilt, forget my iniquity. I'm glad Psalm 103 said that he hath not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. Why? Because with the words of the old song, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I'm glad, thank God, he can't remember my sin. And then he said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. But Tripp, what a God that chooses not to remember anything that's wrong with us and chooses to remember everything that's right about us. Amen. Sir, that's rightly divided. I'm not going to the great white throne judgment. I'm going to the judgment seat. There won't be no sin judged at the judgment seat. It'll all be about, that's a son judgment. That great white throne judgment's a sinner judgment. Why? My sin, not the part, but the whole. Not the part, but the whole. And brother, may I tell you, when the devil, according to Revelation 12, is the accuser of the brethren, when he walks in there, honey, he begins to accuse, and the God the Father looks at Jesus Christ and said, what sins is he talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Now listen to me, he don't go in there. The Lord doesn't plead our case and plead us innocent. He said he's guilty. He did just exactly what you said he did. But about that time, he lifts up those nail-pierced hands, and he shows him at Riverside. And honey, for God to require payment at mine and your expense, he'd be an unjust God. But because God's already paid, and he accepted the payment of our sin, thank God he doesn't remember where we've come short. Remember. Remember thy word. Remember. Remember. Put the members back together. Put your word together in my life. What'd that thief say? Remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Put me back together. You know why I'm going to make it in? He's going to put me back together a whole lot better than I was the first time. I like looking at them old restored cars because most of them were put back better than they were when they were purchased off the lot to begin with. They've got a bigger engine. They've got a nicer interior. Amen. They got nicer tires. They got a different running gear, a lot of them. Can I tell you something? I'm going to have a different running gear on the other side. I may have 16 in the floor, fooey on 4 in the floor. Amen. A powerful affection. I'm glad they can't figure out what. Listen, I'm glad I don't have a God that his eyes can't see and his hands can't feel and his nose can't smell. I'm glad, thank God, I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today and still got the ability to work the Word of God on our behalf. Verse 49, there's a powerful affection. Verse 50, this is my comfort in affliction. There's a prompt in affliction. Can I tell you something? There's affliction coming to all of us. But David said, it was good that I was afflicted. He said, then I learned the statutes of the Lord. We look at, can I tell you something? How you handle affliction will determine how you spend your life. How you spend your life. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something, friend? There's a way to find comfort in chaos, peace in the midst of problems. He said, I remembered thy word. And that word was my comfort in affliction. My little mother stood up the other day. And she's got Alzheimer's, and I told you that last night. And every once in a while, she'll stand up to testify. And you pray for me, but I just cringe because I don't want her to be embarrassed and not be able to remember. But she stood up that day, and Brother Jeff, she looked, and when she stood up, I knew whatever she was going to say had left her. I could tell by the look on her face. But then all of a sudden, it came back to her. She said, this is all she said. Now, I'm talking about a mom. My mom was an accountant for one of the most wealthy men in the southeastern United States in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I'm talking about sharp lady. And she stood up, and her hair's not fixed right. She's got out of the house 4 out of the last 5 Sundays with her shoes on the wrong feet. She couldn't even remember my dad's name the other day. Let me tell you what she stood up and said. She stood up and put her hands on the pew, and she said, when I could not come to where it was, he came to me. She couldn't remember meeting my dad that she's been married to for almost 50 years. But she remembered meeting the Lord. And she remembered she couldn't get to him when she wanted to. But she remembered that when she couldn't get to him, he came to her. May I say, there was some comfort in affliction that morning when I remembered that she remembered that God had came to her. And she started to sit down, Brother Roy. She stood back up. This is what she said. And she said, he's just been here ever since. I about took 7 laps around the church. Amen. Amen. Tell me about it, child of God. How many times you've gone through a storm and it seemed like God just start bringing verses back to your mind or that you never even memorized or some message or that God poured the word of God in your spirit and it comforted your soul in the nick of time. I remember reading of two missionaries from Canada in China during World War II. They were serving in China. Their kids had been taken. They were serving another camp, and their children had been taken and put it in a concentration camp, and they were worried about their children. One day, a man knocked on their door and told them, said, your kids are all right. They're in a concentration camp, but they're okay. Wasn't long, that same man came back a few weeks later and on the door. He come back and he told him, he said, I've got some sad news to tell you. He said, your children were at that camp and they've been executed. They're dead. And that mother just fell apart. And then she went running back in the house. She went and got her Bible. And she took that man's finger and she put it on Jeremiah 31, verse 16. And she said, I want you to read that verse. She said, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. She said, you're just here to break our hearts. You're not telling the truth. Because she said, I want you to read these verses. And this is what he read. In Jeremiah 31, she said, these are the verses that God gave me when we found out our children were in that camp. And this is what it said. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in the end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their home border. That man just threw the Bible down and went running away. That's all he was there to do, was trying to get them to leave the country. But thank God. God, that lady had enough hope that had been driven up in her heart by a promise of the Word of God. And may I tell you, there's been some times that God's driven a stake up with a promise of the Bible that nobody could convince me that God wasn't going to bring good out of the situation. A prompt in affliction. Old choir song years ago used to say, the storm clouds drove me to the valley. The valley drove me to my knees. But there, I found the lily of the valley. Look at verse 51 and I'm done. The proud have me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined. Yet have I not declined from thy law. That derision means to scorn a person. Let's just be honest. People in the public can say, we can't say anything about anybody else, but the Christians in our day are the world's whipping boy. Amen. Listen, Shepard Smith on Fox News insulted Christians last week. And that man insulted the Chinese, that liberal that's on the Fox at 5, the 5, he insulted the Chinese and they fired him. But Shepard Smith insulted the Christians and told us just to get over the marriage rule. And he was on the air today. Amen. Y'all might as well, listen, you could go to Raleigh and play in Allah's name or Buddha's name or Jiminy Cricket's name. And nobody get offended. But just go up there and say in Jesus' name and watch them cringe. Amen. Scorn. A lot of people are using that scorn as a reason to throw up or just throw up their hands and quit. But the psalmist said, they've had me greatly in derision. Yet not I have declined from thy law. Listen. We might ought to quit singing Hold the Fort for I'm Coming and start marching on with Christian soldiers, praise God. Amen. Are you listening? Why? Because we've got hope. We've got hope. You better believe we're living in horror-filled times. Horror-filled times. I mean, when people are killing policemen as sport. Good night. The world, at any moment, just at a brink with wars, could break out all over the continent. You say, doesn't that worry you? Oh, no. It said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. If they fire a bomb, I hope that it lands on my house. I don't want the Antichrist living in my house. Amen. I mean, what is he threatening us with? Seeing Jesus? I can think of, let me tell you something, child of God. There's a whole lot of things worse than death for a child of God. Amen. Hey, fellas, we might as well buckle our seatbelts. They're telling the world they've got to accept this marriage. They'll be coming to our churches and tell us we've got to accept it for long. You mean to tell me you think they'll honor our church constitution if they won't honor the American Constitution? But it ain't time to back down. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Amen. If we go down... I told them years ago, we went through some church storms. And man, you know how it is. They come out of the woodwork that night. I took a stand on the Word of God, and folks got upset. They thought they was going to get rid of that young man, calm him down a little bit. And I really thought I was going to die in the middle of that. And I remember walking up there, and there's folks in there never heard me preach. They come to lodge their vote. And I'll never forget what I told them, and I wouldn't be in brass, and I wouldn't be in cocky. But somewhere between my office and the back door of that church, the Holy Ghost got on me. And I told him, I said, now look, I know why you're here. And I said, we're not going to sing and make a show. I said, but I came preaching. And if I'm leaving tonight, I'm leaving preaching. That was 11 years ago. Let me tell you, the Word of God's right on time. Been preaching verse through there. You know where we were? By God's providence and sovereignty. And can I tell you something? You can believe in the sovereignty and providence of God and not be a hyper-Calvinist. Amen. Let me just go ahead and say that. Amen. If I didn't think he was under control, I would be a doomsday prepper. But I was in that verse in Psalms. This is where we were that night. Not by any design other than that's where we just left off. The verse was this. The horse and mule have no understanding, and their mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle. That was a verse. And I preached that night on the bit and the bridle. Not to be mean, but I figured if God put us in that verse, that's where we needed to be. That was, hey, I'd been preaching through the Psalms for over 2 years when we got to that verse. God knew where we was going to be. You know what that gave me? That gave me hope that if I just stay with that book, he's going to take care of what needs to be took care of. Can I tell you something, fellas? There's hope-filled truth for our horror-filled times. Heads are bowed. Our sister's coming back to the piano. Sister to the organ. Come on, my brother, get you a song. I don't know what. Can I tell you something? The devil is a master at magnifying things and trying to steal our hope. There's a lot of folks like that little mouse. They saw no way out. And fellas, they just quit. I've seen folks get saved and their family didn't care while they were sitting on a bar stool on Friday nights. They didn't care when they were gambling their paycheck away. But as soon as they got saved and started coming to church 3 times a week and changing their life and not cussing their wife and not drinking beer and doing dope, all of a sudden they think they've lost their mind. And I've seen more of them get discouraged because they saw no way out of that derision that their family had put them in. And they've just quit. Can I tell you something, child of God? There's hope tonight. Preacher man, evangelist, singer, Sunday school teacher, deacon, bus worker. I read one play, a man picked up California, picked a boy up on the bus for 405 straight Sundays. And on the 406th Sunday, picked him up, the man got born again. After 405 times, the man got saved. There is hope. Just keep marching on. Take that word, put it in your heart, and know that he's still able to work the word of God for your good and on your behalf. We're standing, our brother's coming to sing.